Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Indeed. The sermon for this second Sunday of Easter is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. The sermon is entitled, Insured in the Word. Actually, assured, not insured. Ushered in the Word. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You know, the reason the apostles preached so boldly was because they had assurance. All that they had seen with their own eyes, all that they had heard with their own ears, this was the word to which they would speak. And that is to the Lord's resurrection. This was their assurance. As great grace and great power was upon them all. You know, it is interesting, isn't it? Many skeptics would deny the resurrection. And it's interesting that if this was a hoax, if this was a made-up story, at the end of the day, many of the apostles, they would die for the faith, wouldn't they? Now, they died for the faith, for standing up, that is, for the truth in Christ Jesus' death and resurrection, as they boldly proclaimed this very word of deliverance. But indeed, it would have been foolish if they were to die for a lie. Yet even unto death, they stood because they knew what they had seen and heard. The truth. They would die for the truth. If this was not the truth, what do you think they would have done? Well, they would have taken it all back, wouldn't they? But there is truth. And where there is truth, there is assurance. And where there is assurance, well, there is nothing more. Even Jesus telling Peter in John 21, if you love me, feed my sheep. There at the end, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. Yes, Peter would follow Jesus unto his very own death. See, the early church shows us not only what preaching boldly is all about, but what was behind this boldness was great assurance. The preaching of the living word of God. Now, speaking of living, there they were in the gospel in the upper room. Right, the doors locked in the fear of the Jews. Jesus died on the cross, and there he would appear. The resurrected Lord, alive. Saying, peace be with you. Remember in John 14, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, do not be afraid. And now in John 20, do not be afraid. Remember what I had told you. I am here right now, risen, giving you victory. And that's why I say in this time, peace be with you, because death has been conquered, your sins won for, and there I am here with you. Peace. Yet who wasn't there in the first time? It was Thomas was somehow absent. And though the other disciples had recounted what they had seen and heard, we have seen the Lord. I mean, what else is there to say? With great assurance. But for Thomas, well, seeing was believing. Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails and place my fingers in the marks of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. See, Thomas was seeking assurance. He was trying to find proof in what the disciples had seen or heard. All along, Jesus gave them this assurance, didn't he? I mean, even before his death, he foretold his death and resurrection three times. He continued to teach them and give them this very assurance was there all along. Yet Thomas was still at a stalemate. You know, 8 days later, Jesus would appear again. And without even asking, Jesus very well knew what Thomas was seeking. You know, Thomas didn't ask. Jesus simply said, "Peace be with you. Here, put your finger here in my hands, in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Jesus resolves the stubborn stalemate with assurance. Of course, the assurance is always with them because this is the word to which they were given by the Lord. Yet the plight of Thomas was what? "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And here Jesus is speaking about you, that our faith is in the unseen. Our faith, our assurance, is in the very word, the Holy Scriptures. And for Thomas, this was his spiritual struggle. And he wanted to see with his own eyes, rather than simply trusting in the Word of God. See, the beauty of Lutheranism is that just as we confess the Holy Spirit in Article 3 of the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in the Holy Spirit," what we are really saying there is, "I have no human strength or power to come to the Lord." Right? Because ever since the fall, free will is out the window. I have no choice. For when my first parents saw and they took and they ate from the tree that God forbade, we very well know what happened next. Sin entered the world. Separation from God was our reality. And there we were bound in sin and death. That means I cannot find assurance in myself because sin is that damaging. I am unable to decide. I'm unable to commit. I'm unable to surrender or give my life to the Lord by my own human reason and strength. Yet, friends, as we live this life of faith, the faith in the unseen, this is the plight of man, isn't it? We have been given the Word of God, yet our trust, our assurance, well, it always devolves to the subject of the verb, and that is I. As I asked the children this morning, how do you know that you are saved? What is your answer going to be? What is the subject of the verb? Is it I? Did I choose? Did I decide? Because if this is the case, that is where your assurance is. See, this is the tension, my friends, right? We always want to play a part. Our faith is in the unseen. But yet our flesh says, no, you have to find your assurance in what is seen. And that is yourself. But if this is your assurance, my friends, if human reason is your trust, well, then where does that leave us? If our faith is in I, well, we crumble. We crumble to despair. The shards of terror, a mess that we have on our own hands. Because if we are to meet God in the middle, in other words, Jesus died and rose for me, but I must do this. There we have it. Legalism that poisons the soul with false assurance. Why is human reason and strength the great temptation of man? Why is it? I suppose because it's tangible, right? I mean, it's right there for us. Trust in self. That's who we can trust. I think for many, I was teaching this week and we were speaking about the gospel, right? Many agree upon the gospel. Right? Jesus died for sinners, of course. But when it comes to the sacraments, that's where sometimes we come to a screeching halt. How could this be so, right? The water and the power of God's word, does that really save holy baptism? How could this be so? Whoever is baptized into Christ has put on Christ? How could this be so? And the fellowship of this altar and the true body and blood of Jesus given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins, that surely that can't be, our human reason says. But the question is, what does the word say? Because this is what the word promises. And that's the tension I want you to see in your life. Our human reason says one thing, the word says another, and at times we believe that they run parallel to each other, as if they're working together. No, that is not our faith. Our faith is solely in the word of Christ. Because if baptism was my work, if the Lord's Supper is my work, then all we would be left with is a teetering assurance, so shaky, with so many question marks wondering, am I truly saved? And that is the question mark that leads to terrifying despair. See, if we see our true depravity and sin, there is no assurance that we can play. There's no assurance that we can show to God. We are corrupt in our sin. And when you are corrupt, there is no power or strength or reason that you can bring to the table. No human capacity in this spiritual condition that can quell the conscience to human assurance. Did God really say? The devil asked. Our first parents. That is the temptation. And for Thomas, unless I see, unless, that's the condition. For us, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Unless I see, Thomas said. What is that for you? What is that subtle condition for you? You know, the devil always plays his part, doesn't he? He says the cross isn't enough. The sacraments, surely that can't work. Assurance you need to find in yourself. And so easy we take it, hook, line, and sinker. Oh, that sounds so good. I must do this. All he is doing, the evil foe, is poking and prodding you with false assurances. And thus we confess our sins, don't we? If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what the word says. And of course we hear these words. And our human reason says, well, that sounds good, But my sin is too grave, my trespass too deep. And surely my guilt is an anvil that is wrenching my soul so tightly that these words, I'm not so sure that God can cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Don't you see how the human reason tears us away from the true assurance that God gives by his word? This is the struggle, my friends. So where is your assurance this day? Honestly, when push comes to shove, at the end of the day, in your soul, what is your assurance? And thus we repent. We all do. For we trust in ourselves more than we ought to admit, don't we? We do. How in our sinful nature, oh, we rest upon those silent and quiet assurances saying, I'm glad I'm better than those people over there. That's your assurance. And it's false at best. But these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. These words are written. This is the word that assures each and every one of you. Peace be with you, Jesus says. These words assure you of the peace of Christ, namely his death and resurrection. This is your assurance, nothing else. Assurance means no doubt, no wonder, no stones left unturned. And that is Christ for you. The gospel, the forgiveness of sins, your sins purchased and won for, bought with a price, not with silver or gold, but with his precious blood, his blood on the Christ, Christ alone. Peace be with you, Jesus says. These are his words that assure each and every one of you. This peace is the marks on his hands and on his side, the cost for your salvation. For Jesus is the sole author and publisher of your faith, all by his very blood for you. The perfect sacrifice, washing away all your sins to declare you righteous. You are righteous. In the children's message, how many times did the children say Jesus? I don't remember, honestly. But how many times did they say I? They never did. Because that is not assurance. It is only Christ. Peace be with you, Jesus says. And though seemingly defeated on that very cross, our Lord reigned victor over the sting of the grave. As he rose and proved his very work, the work of victory, reconciling you to the Father. That is your peace, and it's been given to you. This is your assurance. His blood. Nothing of ourselves. Everything of Christ. Not even a tenth of 1% you bring to the table. Nothing at all. Only Christ for you. This is your eternal assurance. And from him alone, there we rest in faith, boldly, joyously, rejoicing in the great power and great grace, steadfast with a clear and peaceful conscience that by his very word, by his very promise, friends, you are absolved of all your sins. There is nothing to do because you are assured by the word. Nothing to earn, nothing to prove. No, your assurance is the crucifixion. Your assurance is the empty tomb. These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sunday sermon from Faith Lutheran Church in Moore Park, California. For more information, visit us on the web at faithmoorpark.com.